Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. During a Q&A session at the National Association of Black Journalists Convention in Chicago, Republican presidential nominee Donald Trump questions likely Democratic presidential nominee Kamala Harris's racial identity.
She was Indian all the way, and then all of a sudden she made a turn and she became a black person.
Just to be clear, sir, do you believe somebody should
look into that too.
At a black sorority event in Houston tonight, VP Harris responded a short time ago.
It was the same old show. The divisiveness and the disrespect. And let me just say, the American people deserve better.
Trump is campaigning in Pennsylvania tonight, his first visit there since the assassination attempt earlier this month. The Defense Department says Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, accused of plotting the September 11th attacks, has agreed to a plea deal along with two others. It would spare them the death penalty. Terry Strada is the 9/11 Families United National Chair.
I am appalled at the plea agreement that was announced today. It was a gut punch. I wasn't expecting it, and I'm not happy about it at all.
The three men have been in custody for over 20 years. The White House believes a Mideast peace deal is still possible, despite reports that Hamas's top political leader has been killed in Iran. National Security Council spokesman John Kirby says the complicated situation in the region certainly has not gotten any easier.
I think it's too soon to know what any of these reported events could mean for the ceasefire deal.
Newly released recordings reveal more about the killing of Sonia Massey in her home by Illinois Sheriff's Deputy Sean Grayson. CBS News Chicago's Charlie DeMar reports.
911 calls and dispatch audio are giving the fullest look yet at what happened to Sonia Massey. Records appear to show she was experiencing a prolonged mental health episode. Her mother, Donna, called for help.
The mental people tell me to call 911.
That was at 9:09 a.m., 16 hours before she was shot. Massey herself called 911 just before 1 p.m., and called again early the next morning.
It sounds like somebody was banging on the side of my house. I don't know. Okay, y'all come and see.
Katie Ledecky has tied one of the swimming's most impressive records. The 27-year-old American swimmer brought home more Olympic gold with a dominating victory in the 1500-meter freestyle. CBS's Dana Jacobson in Paris.
For Katie Ledecky, it's her eighth gold here at the for the Olympic Games that she's been in. It's her 12th overall medal, so she is now tied with Jenny Thompson for the most medals for an American woman at the Olympics.
This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Enjoying this local program?
Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A man who stabbed a teenager to death tubing in the Apple River 2 years ago is going to prison. More from James Kelly.
Nikolai Mew was convicted of first-degree reckless homicide and four counts of recklessly endangering safety following an eight-day trial in St. Croix County. On Wednesday, he was sentenced to serve a total of 20 years in prison and 6 years extended supervision. Mew was arrested following the July 2022 incident where he stabbed five people on the river, killing 17-year-old Isaac Schumann in the process. I'm James Kelly.
Vice President Kamala Harris and her running mate plan to stop in western Wisconsin next week. Harris is expected to announce her running mate by Tuesday. That's when they'll be at a rally in Philadelphia. They'll campaign in seven swing states in 4 days after that. That's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
Long practice and pads in Green Bay. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers held their longest, most physical practice of training camp so far on the hottest day. 2 hours of hitting, scrimmage, and drills under the midday sun.
We know it's going to be hot and warned them yesterday. to make sure they take care of their hydration, everything they put in their body, make sure you get a good night's rest, and it's going to be a little bit of a gut check, I think.
That's Packers head coach Matt LaFleur. Baseball. The Brewers jumped out to a 2-0 lead, then let the Braves score six unanswered runs, losing 6-2 to Atlanta. Milwaukee's now lost their last four home game series in the past month. Pat Murphy.
There's so many factors involved. You have to kind of reach down and kind of reassess like where you are personally and how you can get back to that lift in your step and that edge that you had early, and not worry about standings and things like that. Worry about playing good. That's it. Worry about playing good.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy with Sports on Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy with a few showers and thunderstorms late tonight. Warm and muggy with a low near 70. For tomorrow, mostly cloudy, scattered showers and thunderstorms, highs in the low 80s. More storms Thursday night, then clearing out by Friday afternoon. Right now it's 80.
Earl Ingram.
Join me on the next show. We'll go in the pharmacy with Omar the Pharmacist to talk health and wellness. It's one of my favorite segments of the week. You won't want to miss it.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 till 10. This is the Shaw, WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
It's a good day to be indigenous. Get up,
stand up. They are going to become more brutal.
Cody Cup, Hidney Cup, dude.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kadagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. We discuss local, national, Native news and events, and as you know, Tujunk, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Yes, you are right, Dega. This portion of the show is supported by Native Concrete and Masonry. Check out their work at nativeconcretemasonry.com, and give Chuck a call at 612-597-0421.
Hey, give him a call. Hey, I just got home from God's Country an hour ago, and I'm glad I did. It is pitch black here in the Twin Cities right now, and my name is Wakunja Hade, which means distant thunder, and I hear a lot of distant thunder happening right now, and I'm scared, my dog's scared. So if Arvina, if I end up getting off, you're going to have to take over the show, but you and Haley, so... We are here.
Whoever loses power first.
Right, thank you.
Well, it's sunny here, so if you need me to just, you know, go solo.
Yeah. Well, hey, we're here with Arvina Martin, Executive Director of Emerge Wisconsin, and we are so glad to have you for three segments today, because it always seems like we never get enough time. So thank you so much for being on. And
absolutely.
All I have to say is go Kamala. Oh,
yeah. I'm trying to scooch over here so you can see my sign. I need to fix it behind me for the, unfortunately, this is not super fun for people that are listening on the radio, but it says vote Dega Joe and Nunu Kamala.
Uncle Joe and Auntie Kamala.
Big sister Kamala.
Oh, big sister. And then Dega Joe, which is Uncle Joe.
Yeah. Yeah, so in Ho-Chunk. So I figured it's time to get that back up. And excited about Kamala. It's really exciting. I saw part of her rally last night in Atlanta, and heard from a friend that was actually there in Atlanta and said it was just absolutely electrifying.
Now, I know, Arvina, you're young. You probably do remember Obama and the electricity that was happening around his election. How do you compare?
I mean, this is kind of a combination of the excitement that I felt with both Obama's campaign and the Clinton campaign. You know, because she would be the first woman president, the first Black woman, the first Indian woman. You know, she's just all firsts, and she's been knocking down these doors her entire career. And I feel like people that are used to doing that kind of having to take on new battles that mean that they're the first at something, you know, those folks really know what they're doing, because it adds an extra layer of pressure. And I know that when I was the first Native elected person to the Madison Common Council, I felt very, very conscious of that fact, and very much so felt that if I messed up, if I did something wrong or was, you know, bad somehow, that would ruin chances for any other Native candidates, male or female, in the future. And it's a big responsibility. So people that have these, you know, these firsts, I think are really solid candidates, because they've had to work at it and they've had to be extra, extra good in order to break down people's stereotypes.
Well, you talked a little bit about Hillary Clinton, and we talk about this a lot when we reminisce, and there was a 30-year attack on her, and the amazing, you know, and the amazing for many different reasons, but Kamala doesn't have that baggage that Hillary had, and I hope that helps out a lot too. And you know, my producer here, Haley, my Chujunk here, put in the notes because, you know, Dega Pilot needs a nap before the show, so he doesn't really know what the show is about until 5 minutes till. But you know that Georgia last night had a max capacity, and the crowd was electric and loud. Yeah. So that's the kind of thing that reminds me of Obama, and that's just amazing. I'm so, so happy.
I think the other part of it too is the effect that her now nomination is having on youth, and our Gen Z voters, and even you know, kids in high school that are not eligible yet to vote. I know the day that it happened, my daughter, she thinks of politics as that's what her mom does for work and doesn't think about it the same way. She's because she's used to it being surrounded by it, but she came into my bedroom that day and was like, oh my God, and was so excited. And that was really cool to see. She's 15, and, you know, seeing herself reflected, you know, she was really little. She's 15, so she was very little during the Obama presidency, and it's just been white guys, and she sees herself. And I think that's remarkable, and I think that bodes well for Democrats up and down the ticket, that we have this kind of energy and we have this youth energy that is going into this campaign, because they're, you know, when young voters get out to vote, you know, they change elections.
Absolutely. And I don't know if we had this conversation, but I talked to Haley, and I know I've brought it up on the show a bunch of times, but I talked to Haley a day after, and I go, oh my God, she got $50 million like in 6 hours. And I started watching TikTok, and TikTok was blowing up and supportive. And you know, that's young and old for me that I follow on TikTok. And I was like, I'm really happy. And she go, and Haley said, I donated money. And there you go. Gen Z got excited there, Haley.
Yeah, it was a lot of first-time donors, and a lot of that came from Gen Z, and they were small money donors, and those really can add up and help out campaigns such as this one. Arveen, I know that you attended the Zoom call that was for Native Women and Two-Spirit for Vice President Harris on Sunday, and Lieutenant Governor of Minnesota spoke on that, Peggy Flanagan. How was it?
It was incredible. It was hosted by Jana Schmieding, who was the star of Rutherford Falls, and also Bev on our favorite IHS worker on Reservation Dogs. So she was the host, and it was amazing. It brought a lot of, like, And I'm saying this in not a bad way, because it kind of felt familiar to me, like a PBS fundraising drive energy, just because of the way the backgrounds looked and everything. And she actually commented on the same thing. On that call, we raised, you know, I believe more than $30,000 for the campaign, yeah, from Native and Two-Spirit, or Native, mm-hmm, women and Two-Spirit folks. And you know, we had lots of speakers. You know, another one of the Minnesota electeds, their name is Leish.
Leish Kosalski.
Yeah.
And I actually very, very briefly met them at the week before at the Advanced Native Political Leadership Native Power Building Summit. So that was really cool to see somebody that I had just met and didn't realize they were a legislator. You know, it just, when you do this kind of work, there's not a lot of other Native people that are actively doing the, you know, especially as a job, this kind of work. So it was really cool to see a bunch of other people that do this work across the country joining in on this call. And you know, we had over 1,000 participants, and that is amazing for such a small population group.
Hey, we're here with Arvina Martin, Executive Director of Emerge Wisconsin, and we're emerging with Wisconsin right now and talking politics. We'll be right back. This is Native Roots Radio. Ooh-wah.
I heard sex trafficking happens a lot in Indian country. What is that?
Here are some of the real reasons why sex trafficking happens in Indian country. Unequal gender roles that were forced on us by colonization. Communities don't have enough resources. Silence around domestic and sexual violence. Lack of attention and justice for missing and murdered Indigenous people. There's a lot of behavior that keeps our communities out of balance. These are just a few true reasons why Native communities are targeted by traffickers. When these acts of violence happen in our communities, it opens us all up for exploitation.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
Hey, it's Robert Pilot. I want to talk to you about the rising energy costs and how you can manage them with the help of 952 Windows. Many people have plenty of insulation in their roof and attic, but the next significant step for energy savings is installing energy-efficient windows and doors. My good friend owns 952 Windows, a part of Loyal Home. They did a remodeling job on our home 20 years ago and definitely did a better job than the other guys. I've talked to neighbors over the years that experienced contractor problems with those other guys, especially when their window and door upgrades fell short in quality and energy efficiency. But when we made our second floor addition to our home, we used 952 Windows and received an excellent price and exceptional workmanship. Since then, we've seen much lower energy bills. So for your next home remodeling project, go with 952 Windows. Trust me, you won't regret giving them a call at 952Windows or 952windows.com.
Aneen, I'm Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, and you are listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native-owned J.S. Bean Factory off Randolph Avenue in St. Paul. Only the good stuff keeps us awake.
We are awake. And hey, we are here with Arvina Martin, Executive Director of Emerge Wisconsin. And I guess we're just giggly and really excited right now and on the possibilities and how I was a Joe guy all the way, but I kind of feel the excitement, not only like Obama, but I was really a big Bernie person. And every time he spoke, we'd donate, I think his average was $28.55 or something like that. Wendy and I would donate every time we saw him and they'd ask for it. But I feel like, you know, I was going up to bed and Wendy was on her phone and she said, I just gave 50. And I went, gave 50 to what? And she says, Kamala, and I went, well, okay, right on.
Nice.
Yeah, absolutely. She's, I mean, she, her candidacy has, I mean, it's been night and day. And I think that the decision, we talked about this a little bit last week, that the decision that the president made to step back, you know, I think that it showed a lot of people as well, you know, the amazing character that he has, and you know, stepping back and just going straight into endorsing his running mate and the person who has served, you know, I think not that she needed that kind of credibility, but getting that kind of credibility is huge. And I think, you know, Democrats, we're a big tent party. We don't always agree on every policy item. And because of that, we can get the reputation of being, you know, disorganized and disunified. Oh. And to be able to see when that really, like, that kind of the differences in opinion are that differences in opinion. But this, it's been almost unbelievable to see the near universal support that she's gotten. And I think that that says a lot about her work and where she is in her career and the things that she's done and accomplished in her career. And I think also says something very, very big about the moment that we're living in and people understanding, you know, the consequences and the things that are at stake in this election, because there are a lot of things that many of us hold dear that are under threat with the possibility of a second, you know, term of Trump. You know, I am concerned about being able to make decisions about my own body and my daughter being able to make decisions about her own body. You know, I'm worried about, you know, the other Trump wanting to, like, give more tax breaks to wealthy corporations rather than to people that are being nickeled and dimed, you know, here in their everyday lives and are just trying to survive. You know, healthcare. I really want to have healthcare. and getting rid of Obamacare, that's not it. So, you know, there's just too much at stake. And I think that people are seeing what this moment is and rising to the occasion. And you know, I think the moment that I loved when I saw clips from last night's Atlanta, Georgia rally was when the vice president basically said, "Say it to my face."
And
the way she said it was just so perfect, and you know, she did it with kind of a bit of a smirk, but it wasn't like it was just kind of a knowing, you know, knowing that they all got their undies in a bunch because your governor called them weird, like, what?
Right. Arvina.
Which, by the way, I'm loving the more I see Governor Tim Walz on TV, the more I love him. I love our governor here. Tony Evers is wonderful. But I'm glad our neighbor governor is Tim Walz, because he's pretty fantastic.
Well, you know, we've been starting to run again his I'm listening to Native Roots Radio bumper too, and he's a good friend, and we've been invited to a lot of things with the governor. And I have a lot of selfies, so if he ends up being the vice president candidate, wow, you know, I'll be twice as cool. Hey, Arvina, I wanted to bring something up. I learn something new all the time when you're on here, and that's why one of the main reasons why it's really exciting to have you on, and your reputation in Wisconsin and Indian country, and, of course, Ho-Chunk Nation is just stellar, so we're really blessed to have you on here. You said something that I never thought of, and that we have a big tent. And that's why it appears that we are disorganized. Can you elaborate a little more? Because that was a big light bulb in my head, because some of my complaints to the Democratic Party is they aren't organized.
Yeah, and I wouldn't say that it's a lack of organization. It's just that because, you know, we want to be inclusive. I mean, you see the Trump campaign telling Nikki Haley voters, "We don't want you." Like, no, that's not how you win an election. That's not how you build a coalition. And to me, the Democratic Party is a bunch of coalitions that are going coming together to work on things together in order to make things better for all of us, you know? And so sometimes that means we don't agree on policy things, but that means that, you know, we just need to take time and go through and kind of see where everybody's at before, you know, we make decisions on who we vote for, or for legislators to make decisions on what kind of policy that they're going to put forth, or what their priorities are going to be, because there's just so many. And when you are inclusive, you know, you're going to get more opinions, and maybe some of those opinions are not I don't want to say are not compatible, but maybe they clash in a way, and trying to work things out so it things are best for everybody. It's a lot of compromise, and it's a lot of, you know, listening and learning about what's important to your neighbors, to your constituents, and then making your best decisions. You know, as I believe it was Hillary Clinton who said, you know, my goal is to do the best, you know, that I can do for the most people. And I think that that's what Democrats think of, is doing the most that you can for the most amount of people.
Yeah, definitely. And not to change the subject, but we got Bernie coming in town for Ilham, and then also it's really thundering here, and my poor dog's really scared here. Yeah,
he'll be in town on Saturday, this Saturday.
Thank you Haley.
He'll be Bernie Sanders will be in the Twin Cities area this Saturday with Ilhan Omar and Tina Smith, and they're going to be doing a rally and then going out door knocking.
Hey, one of the other things too, Arvina, is that if Walz, by he's a long shot, but if he became vice president, our lieutenant governor, who is the highest ranking Native American woman, would become governor.
That was my first thought when I saw his name on the list. and I actually, that day that I heard was when I was at that Advanced Native Political Leadership group, or that Native Power Building Summit, and Lieutenant Governor Flanagan was there. And I, you know, the first time she was running as Lieutenant Governor was when I was running for Secretary of State. So we, you know, had conversed online, but that was the first time that we'd ever met in person. And I couldn't believe she knew who I was. I was like, you meet people all the time, we've never met. And so that was cool. She's an incredible fighter, and you know, you guys would be in great hands, you know, with her as governor. And I would probably try to, you know, see if I could go out and see her being sworn in as well, just because it's such a huge mm-hmm. moment. Again, with the firsts, you know, there's so much potential. I also heard that Governor Walz made it, you know, I think there's like top three candidates, and he's still on the list.
Wow, so that would be amazing. We just had both Lieutenant Governor Lopez and Flanagan on Monday. And
Rodriguez,
yes. And thank you so much, Haley. This dog's just totally distracting me. I'm sorry. Thanks, Haley. And it was amazing. And it's always amazing to have those two on Native Roots Radio, the energy, the intelligence, and the political intelligence they both have.
Oh, yeah. And in Wisconsin, Lieutenant Governor Rodriguez is also just a powerhouse. Mm-hmm. You know, she has a career in the healthcare field. So her knowledge on all things related to health has been so instructive. And, you know, she's just a great leader, and she's participated and done lots with tribes in Wisconsin. She was speaking at a MMIW event a couple of years back, and I asked her if she had a ribbon skirt, and she didn't. So that meant I talked myself into making a ribbon skirt, you know, 2 days before, so she would have something, you know, appropriate to wear. And she was very grateful, and she did a great job speaking to the issue and our concerns regarding missing and murdered Indigenous relatives. She's just on the ball.
Yeah, and we're totally blessed to have them on the show. Hey, one of the things, we're going to take a break here, and we have you for three segments, so it's really exciting. I want to ask you in the next segment how you got started and who...
You're listening to The Shaw at WAUK, Waukesha's home for the Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
CBS News Brief. At a Black journalist convention, GOP presidential nominee Donald Trump questions Democratic presidential nominee Kamala Harris's racial identity. Harris says at a historically Black sorority event,
"We deserve a leader who understands that our differences do not divide us. They are an essential source of our strength."
Feds say three 9/11 defendants, including Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, agree to plead guilty. 9/11 Families United National Chair Terry Strata.
"I wanted a guilty verdict to be found, and I wanted the punishment, that whatever the punishment is, and if it is the death penalty."
In a 9/11 call obtained by CBS News, Sonia Massey's mother, concerned about her daughter's mental health, asks police before her daughter was fatally shot by an Illinois sheriff's deputy.
"Please don't send no combative policemen that are prejudiced, please."
"Okay, well, that would be done. They just do their job, okay?"
CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. People who get lung transplants at UW Health have the nation's highest one-year survival rate. That's according to the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. 95% of lung transplant patients at UW Health are still around after 1 year. The national average is closer to 88%. The Wisconsin State Fair gets underway Thursday, but we already know the best food. Stuart J. Waddles explains.
The Wisconsin State Fair awarded their prestigious Sporky's Award for Best Food. The top prize goes to Saz's Deep Fried Lemonade Bites. Second and third places went to the Bud Pavilion's Hot Ham and Glazers and Camp Bar's Rise and Swine. The fair in West Dallas runs through the 11th. I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabo. If you're looking for a movie to watch this coming October 11th, you might want to check out Saturday Night, the film about the launch of Saturday Night Live in 1975. The Hollywood Reporter writes that it is getting a primo release date when it comes to award season. The film is directed by Jason Reitman and tells the story of the behind-the-scenes drama leading up to the first episode of Saturday Night Live. Real-time host Bill Maher sat down for an in-depth, as much as possible anyway, conversation with Haley Welch, a.k.a. the Hawktua Girl, on his Club Random podcast, where Maher shared his views on Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce. Maher said he thinks Kelce will dump Swift because Swift is immature and at 35, a little too old to be wearing her boyfriend's football jersey, said the 68-year-old Maher to his hot 21-year-old guest. The episode saw the self-proclaimed intellectual Maher laugh at the jokes Welch dropped in between double negatives. "Why would you sacrifice your principles to talk to someone whose fame timer is in rapid decline? Yes, I'm asking Haley." For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabo, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy with a few showers and thunderstorms late tonight. Warm and muggy with a low near 70. For tomorrow, mostly cloudy, scattered showers and thunderstorms. Highs in the low 80s. More storms Thursday night, then clearing out by Friday afternoon.
Right now it's 80.
With a little financial support from the Wisconsin Chairs Child Care Subsidy Program, more is possible. You can focus on work, continue your education, and take advantage of opportunities that make your family stronger. Best of all, you can give your child a great start with the high-quality care they deserve. What's your more? Learn how you can get help paying for childcare by visiting wishares.wi.gov today.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
The host of American Ninja Warrior, Matt Eisman. When I first started watching Ninja Warrior, it was like, this guy was a track athlete. Now they train to be Ninja Warriors. It's like doing the Stairmaster to be better at the Stairmaster.
These were kids who grew up watching Ninja Warrior. They weigh 140 pounds. They don't have anything but muscle, and all they're doing is algebra homework, and they remind me how old I am.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we talked to the Humane Animal Welfare Society of Waukesha County. They got a special deal going on. Sports with Paul Noonan and Weather and Wine with Brittany Merlot. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Development Institute, or NACD, in Minneapolis.
Hey, we are so happy to have Arvina Martin on. And Arvina, I want to know a little bit about your background, and then I want to talk about the Olympics that are happening right now. We have a lot of representation there, and yes, Haley, I do read the script, but, you know, I have drain damage. I'm old elder. Oh, thank you. So tell us a little bit how you started, Arvina.
I mean, the home that I grew up in was always politically active. My dad was, in fact, a Republican, a sane Republican, and not one of the Trumper kind. excuse me. And so it was always, and my mom actually served the Ho-Chunk Nation as a legislator as well. So, you know, that kind of the idea of public service and working in the public for the public has always been something that I guess I kind of thought I would do. And I, you know, worked after college, and I had moved to Arizona with my now ex-husband, and when I moved back, when we were splitting, I was like, you know, I need to find a job. I would like it to be in a field that I like. And I started actually in 2010 or 2011. I can't remember. It must have been 2010 as a communications intern with the state party. But when that happened, I was only a communications intern for a couple of months when Scott Walker dropped the former governor, Scott Walker, dropped the bomb eliminating, public bargaining, collective bargaining. And so, yeah, so it turned into something, again, it turned into something different. And the party wanted to have a Native outreach director. And so I got that. I started in 2011 on the Walker gubernatorial campaign. And that was really where everything started, and started getting involved. It was hilarious. I remember that campaign. You know, my parents being very active in the Wisconsin Native community, you know, when people would meet me, they'd say, oh, you're Buck Martin's daughter? I'm like, yeah. And you work for the Democrats? And I'm like, yep, I do. So it was a nice icebreaker for people that knew my folks. So, yeah. Awesome.
That's a great story. And I remember
I just thought of the other one I was going to mention. When I was a little kid, it must have been 84. So I was like 3 or 4 years old at the time, or 4 years old. Jesse Jackson was running for president, and my dad wrote for a local paper that served communities of color here in Madison. And he got to interview Jesse Jackson, and I got to be the small child that was his photo op. And so I got, you know, he held me and I was like, yay. And I apparently loved Jesse Jackson as a 4 year old, and he, you know, would sit and listen to the tape of my dad's interview with him because I just loved the way he spoke. Wow. You know, he's
you got are, very. I am someone. I remember that just, when he was running.
he just has such a, you know, melodious, you know, his the way he speaks is almost musical. And I loved that as a kid. And when I went to the DNC, I was a delegate in 2012, and he was the first person I saw when I got off the bus, and I almost like had a stroke. I was so excited.
It's that's Jesse awesome. Jesus. Well, we have his daughter on AM 950 who does the morning show here in cities. Yeah. From 7 to 8. Yeah. Sunita Jackson. And yeah, we're really proud of her. Let's jump. That's a great story. And that's awesome. Hey, let's jump into the Olympics.
I've been a nerd the whole time.
Say that again? Oh,
I've been a nerd this my whole life.
Yeah, I love politics too, but you know, from the 60s and 70s when things were upside down in a lot of ways, and with you know, remembering the, at least Bobby Kennedy, I was too young to remember John F. Kennedy, but that 1968, and just to back up a real quick here, is that, you know, the Chicago convention for the DNC is happening, and when Kamala was being endorsed by Joe, I was really worried that we were going to have another 1968, and that is not even close to the fact that everyone jumped aboard and there's no dissension amongst the ranks. And I'm just excited. I think that's part of why I'm kind of skipping and have a jump in my step too, because I've really listened to a lot of politics now in the last 15, 20 years and really gotten into it with pipelines and things like that and wolves and just being Native. Let's talk a little bit about, we have a history of Olympians, and I know Billy Mills is still alive, and his race was amazing in 1964, and he's in Paris right now, but, you know, quoted as the greatest athlete in the first half of the 20th century, Jim Thorpe, and he was Bo Jackson before Bo Jackson was around. He played professional in baseball, football. He was the first NFL commissioner, and all these great things that, as time goes on, people forget, but we don't hear in Indian country. I mean, he won those Olympic medals and on and on.
One of the hills that I will always die on is that Jim Thorpe was the greatest athlete of the 20th century. I mean, you just listed all of the sports that he was good at. Basically, if he tried a sport, he was the best at it. He was just that good. Competing, you know, racism made it so someone threw his shoes away and he had to find shoes in the garbage. And he still won a gold medal. And I mean, think about Michael Jordan, who everybody was like, oh yeah, he's the best athlete of the 20th century. Do you remember when he tried to play baseball? Like, he was great at basketball and like not necessarily like that bad at baseball. Like, you know, he was still better than a lot of people, but he wasn't.
He never made it to the majors. And what was always struck me is when he had the baseball Chicago baseball uniform on, he looked like a little kid.
And you'd never say that about Jim Thorpe. He just dominated it at everything he tried. And I ordered a t-shirt from the NTBS new line about athletes. I ordered one of the Bright Path t-shirts that I plan on wearing at the convention. Yes, I'm putting together my wardrobe already 2 weeks ahead of time, but I want to represent. And Jim Thorpe is one of those people that we need to represent, you know. Absolutely. He's just fabulous. And I you know, when he competed with his two different shoes, one that was too big and one that was like too small, he had two different size socks. And when I skate roller derby, I wear one long sock and one short sock in honor of Jim Thorpe.
Wow.
Thinking about his journey and things that he did and the barriers that he broke down.
Yeah, well, whenever you see a different shoes and the number 1912, because that was the year of the Olympics, that's what it represents.
And, you know, we've got a couple in the Olympics now. There's a few Native Hawaiians that are representing Team USA. Haley and I were talking about it beforehand, I believe, in surfing and in like beach volleyball. So hooray for our Kanaka Maoli brothers and sisters. Like, that's awesome. I know that there's a native swimmer from, I think it's called the Kenai tribe in Canada. So as a former swimmer, having a native swimmer, even if they're Canadian and not American, is really exciting to me as well.
Yeah. And good reason to watch the Olympics. And, I can't wait until there's a real good, movie on, I know there have been over the years, Jim Thorpe movies that are kind of corny, and also Billy Mills, movies. I think Robbie Benson played him, in the 80s.
I actually remember seeing that movie when I was little about Billy Mills. Yeah. And the one thing I remember from that movie was a quote where he was writing a letter to his family back home. And he said that he felt so busy, he felt like a fancy dancer with one leg tied behind his back. So I still remember that part.
That's hilarious. And it's hilarious what you do remember. Oh, Arvina, I'm going to let you in the next 2-3 minutes here just spitball about your Emerge Wisconsin here and how we can support you, especially it's a year-round thing where we want to get women involved in politics, and we have to just talk about it every time because it's so, so important. It's 51% of the population here is women.
Yeah, well, and you were talking earlier about feeling more engaged in politics and seeing your spot in it. And we're finding Native people finding that more often. And I would love to get more Native women and more non-binary folks that feel comfortable in female-centered spaces. We also need that representation for our Two-Spirit family. And we will be opening up our applications on Labor Day for our class of 2025. I've already been talking to several really amazing Native women leaders that I hope will join us. We have 2 Native women in our current class, and I'm hoping next year we get 3 because we had 1 in my first class. So just keep building that. The work that electeds do, I mean, it could be such a boon to tribal communities. And having people on that side of the equation that understand what tribal sovereignty means and understand that working with tribes and tribal governments is the same as working with comparable to working with county governments, state governments, and across different governmental bodies, and treating Native electeds with the same respect that they treat their peers, because they are peers. And I'm just really excited to see, and I'm hoping that the excitement from this election helps us, and we can get some more native people, Native men, women, and non-binary folks on ballots on spring elections next year, running for school board, running for your town council, etc., county boards. Let's get more of us in there.
Absolutely. And I got my Kamala doll here, my action figure here. And so thank you so much, Arvina. We just enjoy having you on here. And yes, you are. I hope Representative Heather Keeler's not listening, but one of the best guest hosts we have here on Native Roots Radio. We really appreciate you. And we got to get both of you guys together and maybe have a guest off.
Absolutely. Or a collaboration.
Perfect. That's better. Hey, thanks again, Big Teeny Gigi. Have a great day, and we'll talk to you soon.
Honey Chuck Chowee.
Honey Chuck Chowee. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio, and we'll be right back after this short break with Bob Blake from Red Lake. Oh,
the city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis Air. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
Bonjour. Hello. My name is Wabin. I am an enrolled member of the White Earth Nation, descendant of the Navajo Nation, and co-chair of the Indigenous Employee Resource Group with the Minnesota Department of Transportation. MnDOT is hiring for a variety of positions from road maintenance to accounting and more. We offer great benefits. For more information or to set up a one-on-one resume and application assistance, visit mn.gov/careers or you can text or call 612-257-2388. 612-257-2388.
Hi, I'm Chuck Manette, owner of Native Concrete and Masonry. With concrete and masonry adding substantial value to your home, it's always a great idea to repair your sidewalks or just add a beautiful new patio. Cracks or heaving in your sidewalks due to tree roots can be dangerous. Native Concrete and Masonry has helped clients across the metro to make their outdoor space safer and helped increase the value to their homes. For patios, sidewalks, driveways, or garage slabs, go to nativeconcretemasonry.com.
You may have seen a certain truck in videos being shared on social media. How about the truth? I have yet to see any video of that truck outperforming the Toyota Sienna from Rudy Luther Toyota. I've driven Sienna since 2006. They handle the highways great, handle back roads, and handle 3 inches of snow a lot easier than the so-called super truck. Plus, my Sienna Hybrid is super fuel efficient, tows great, has enough room for tons of gear, and doesn't look like it was drawn by a six-year-old. Sienna wins! Test drive the top of its class Sienna today at Rudy Luther Toyota, 394 and 169 in Golden Valley.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Hey, we're here with our friend Bob Lake from Red Lake. You guys have to say that real quick once. And then also Solar Bear with the Solar News. And before we get going, Bob, I want to congratulate you on another award. I feel like I'm every time you get an award, I feel like I got an award. So congratulations.
Yeah, that was from the World Resources Institute and the Basel's Earth Fund around the electrification of, you know, the EV charging network. And, you know, they mentioned the training of the Returning Citizens Initiative with the inmates on solar installations in the prison system. And they were just talking about all this stuff. And I was like, you know, it's hard too, right, Robert, because the seven grandfather teachings and everything. It's like, you got to have humility and you can't be bragging, right. You know, it's like, it's so hard for our people. Right. But I know that we have to let people know that we're still here and everything, but it's, I just like have so much hard time with that, but I do appreciate it. And I do feel great that they want to recognize work. And I've gotten some great contacts out there for some more work to happen with the electric school buses for the kids around tribal country. And, you know, this is turning into now a national, you know, effort around the charging stations and the electric bikes. And the glow in the dark bike pass that we want to do in tribal country, and all the stuff that's happening, it's just been really crazy. And so I'm really getting some folks that are really excited to support this work, and I'm very appreciative of those foundations such as the Basel's Earth Fund and others out there that want to help Solar Bear Native Son implement all this stuff. So thank you, Robert. I really do appreciate it.
It's amazing. You know, we don't talk about your brother a lot, but I know Bill would be busting his buttons if he were still with us, and I believe he is still with us.
It was Bill that, you know, I thought I was going to be a cop. I just thought I was going to be a cop. I thought I was going to be a cop like Bill. I thought that's what I was going to do with my life. And then, they were like, hey, Bob, we're going to hire you, but we don't have money right now. So you're going to have to just find something else to do for a while. And I went back to school and took a course on renewable energy and got hooked, and the rest is history. And I was like, I can't stop this. I don't want to be a cop anymore. I think there's other ways to help our people and consequently the planet. And I just felt like this was just a far more righteous cause to dedicate my life to. And so I'm so happy, though, Robert, to this day. Not that I wouldn't want to serve the people of Minneapolis and be a police officer, do the same things that my brother and my uncle and my cousin, Bob, Robert Thunder, out there right now, patrolling the streets of Minneapolis right now. You know, big shout out to him and for all the great work that he does. But, you know, there's I just love what I do. And I'm so happy, Robert, that I found this path in my life. And I'm so thankful to the Creator that he put this in front of me. So.
Yeah. Just think, I hired you for a weekend too, made you drive to Iowa and hand out t-shirts to people I didn't want you to hand them out to. And we had press passes and what was yours? Key Grip or Best Boy?
I was Best Boy, wasn't I? Oh, I thought I was Best Boy. I think I was Best Boy. I was like, we had such a good time though.
Yeah.
And it's amazing how, like, you know, the studio, like, we started this, like, you told me to come on in the studio. We're like, can you just talk about renewable energy and climate change and environmental justice? And I was like, okay. And we just won it. And it turned into, you know, and everybody just got interested now. And all of you, thank you for listening to the program and supporting all this, because it just has evolved over the years. It's been years now, Robert. And like, I just to see where, like, the solar industry has come, the renewable energy industry, and all this environmental justice work. And, you know, we were talking about all this stuff before it really, you know, I mean, it was happening, but it wasn't, you know what I'm saying, the way it is now.
It's, well, this is our eighth year, and you were on the first year. So,
I can't believe. And Robert, which I think is a perfect segue into the brand new solar data sheet, Robert. This just came out, and this is put out by the Solar Energy Industry Association. I just want to give some statistics out there, Robert. There are 263,883 people across Turtle Island, right across the country, United States right now, that are employed by the solar industry. And I think that's incredible. I remember when this thing was down in, like, the, you know, 90,000 range or something. Like, I remember
that was a big deal at 90,000.
Exactly. Today, over 6% of U.S. electricity comes from solar energy, almost six times its share a decade ago, Robert. This was 2 years. I mean, this is 2 years before, like, you know, we started doing this together. I mean, that's how far this has come. I just think that's incredible. Number of businesses in the U.S., 10,000 plus businesses. So everyone, you know, your dollars do matter, and who you spend them with, and with those corporations that are switching to renewable energy, they need to lead the way. And we need to be able to spend our dollars at those places that are doing this. And just let me just give you a few. Meta is number one, Amazon is number two, Apple is number three, Walmart is four, Microsoft is five, Target is six, Cargill is seven. Remember Cargill, everybody. That's going to come up in a future conversation. I'm just throwing that out there, everybody. Kaiser Permanente, AB, Anheuser-Busch, and EVOS North America. So those are the top 10 corporate users of renewable energy. There is enough solar energy installed in the U.S. to power 36.1 million households. In 2023, a new solar project was installed every 39 seconds.
Yeah.
Every 39 seconds, everyone. Carbon emissions reduced 222 million metric tons annually, equivalent to 53 million vehicles off the road, 25 billion gallons of gas not used, everyone. So remember, the whole concept of the Electric Tribal Nation project, right, or the EV project, was to explain to the fossil fuel industry that, you know, they can build these pipelines, right, but, you know, they're going to win the battle, but they're not going to win the war, right? And this is a perfect example of this happening, because 25 billion gallons of gas is not used. 3.7 billion trees planted. This is the equivalent of shutting 57 coal-fired plants, Robert. In 2023, solar became the first renewable technology in 80 years to make up the majority of additions to the U.S. grid, accounting for 55% of all new generating capacity. This is remarkable how much this technology, Robert, has come down in price. This is on par with natural gas. And I mean, this is going to be the future for the country. And we can put solar everywhere. Anyone can learn how to do this. And that's the exciting thing. It's so democratic. And so that's why I love doing this work. And Robert, that is the Solar Bear with the Solar News.
Big Peeny Geeky.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Key and Peele writer Rich Tallarico, Civic Media meteorologist Brittany Merlot talks Twisters, and the Wisconsin Film Festival's Ben Reiser joins the show to talk film.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9.
Hi, I'm Emily from Weichert Realtors Lake Point in Madison. Homeownership is a big deal, and so is taking the leap into the buying or selling of any property. The Weichert team gets that, and our job is to help you navigate the sales process and provide smooth sailing. You have questions? We have answers. You have worries? We have solutions. Let us open the door to your future home. Weichert Realtors Lake Point, 608-721-8002, 2045 Atwood Avenue. Find more info at weichert-lakepoint.com.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network. You're listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.